Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident.
Oh, yeah.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Today we're talking about 6 pop-up events for networking, business development, and building your authority. Often referred to as event marketing, we call these pop-up events because they typically require a little bit less strategy and planning than your, you know, big, giant corporate events and stuff. Now, you know, less strategy and less planning does not mean no strategy and no planning by any means. These should be really well thought out and really strategic in using them as part of your marketing channels. It can be so valuable getting in front, you know, face to face and really getting in front of people. First one of these is a local retail business event. So think restaurant or clothing store, someplace with a physical space, right? But in a way to really stand out and, you know, stop people in their tracks and do this when you can. You know, take, you know, you can have an event at these retail spaces that, you know, carries out into the street when it's allowed, and, you know, have people really in non-traditional ways, you know, going out there and bringing people to this space. But really, you know, you've got this great advantage in our online world of creating this connection, right? This face-to-face connection. It's your biggest asset if you're a restaurant or your retail space. And number one thing you want, people in your door, right? So, you see it at a little, you know, micro levels all the time. You know, sign outside the door. Maybe somebody's standing out there. Somebody's handing out samples, doing things like that. But these can get really involved, and you can essentially push your restaurant, push your entire store out into the space, get out in front of people. And if you can't do it with your physical inventory, your physical tables or something like that, get people. Get your, you know, not just your, you don't want, you know, send your wait staff out there to go pull people off the street, but maybe you're hiring people to walk through an entire shopping center casually talking to people, bringing them over to your restaurant. I mean, there's so many little interesting strategies that you can do, but to really plan this out and say, you know, 3 Saturdays from now, it's our biggest day every month, and not enough people are coming by through our store, let's figure out something to bring them in. Hire actors, hire, you know, a band, hire something, and just think a little bit bigger than, you know, putting a sign up in your window and hoping people pop in. The second one of these is what I call a piggyback event. So almost every industry has their conference, especially their big behemoth, you know, annual conference. Well, a lot of times you can go and take advantage of all of those people being in a city and all being together. And it's not that you couldn't get into that or go to that conference yourself, but a lot of times you can host your own event next door at a hotel nearby or a non-traditional venue. You know, if all the hotels are booked and packed with this big conference, maybe you're going to a concert hall down the road, or simply a restaurant, and hold some of these events, you know, especially if you register, and even when you don't, you can get the attendee list from a lot of these conventions, and you can go in and market to those people and go one by one, inviting them to this special presentation. You don't have to say you're a part of this organization, but it can be a party honoring, you know, somebody, but have an offshoot of that bigger conference. They're coming anyway, and you can really tap into that and without having to go and you can do it a lot cheaper than having a booth if they have a trade show. But more than that, it's about standing out and not just being one of, you know, 6,000 other attendees or exhibitors at a conference. If you can bring people out of that, you know, a core 100, 200 people out of that one evening, one afternoon, you know, be the company that actually has good coffee. They're right next door, skip out of one of these sessions, come grab some great coffee, sponsored by us. Great, you know, great little escape. Everyone's always looking for that. So piggyback events can be super valuable. Number three is for, you know, co-working spaces. Honestly, just like this one. I'm here at Lyft right now, where I office out of in Grapevine, Texas. Amazing space, by the way. There's a couple of ways that co-working spaces can, you know, tap into this pop-up event aspect and really be a community event. You know, Lyft is really positioning itself to be the entrepreneurial space in Southlake, Grapevine, Colleyville area. It's a little area here of North Texas, by hosting these community events. So that's one way, is to bring people in, you know, have speakers come in, actually have lessons, have teaching, you know, that some real education there for folks, and start to be the hub, right, of your target demographic. You know, there's a little bit different demographic here than there is, you know, downtown and some of the other co-working spaces like in downtown Dallas nearby. So reaching out to them is great. Now, a second way that a co-working space like this can have a pop-up event and attract those people is go to where they're already gathering. Find those places where your target customer are, and maybe they're, you know, maybe it's a similar, you know, it's the whole coffee shop thing, and people find people there. But I think there's better ways. You find your demographic, figure out where they're, sometimes where they're doing business, but also just where they're living their lives. Go to them, get in front of them, and have a happy hour. Have, you know, coffee one morning and get in front of them. And a lot of times that brings people then over to your space. The fourth type of pop-up event is what I call mobile sales training. So there's a few examples of this around, but I've yet to see it kind of pitched this way. I'm sure it's out there, right? But it's the party bus aspect of things. But really, you know, it's a mobile conference. And more than just we're sending people from here to there, have speakers on your bus. Have education sessions training a certain industry or entrepreneurs, you know, on a bus, on a trip from Dallas to Austin, let's say, for those outside of Texas, it's about a 3-hour trip, right? So treat that like a breakout session, and maybe part two of your event, or even the big part of it, happens at, you know, a restaurant once you arrive. But it's an amazing way to get people locked in a small space, and can go well or go poorly, right? But it brings people together really quickly, and it sort of, I use this word loosely, but forces participation a lot more than, you know, a big ballroom where people are spread out all over the place. And there's something, you just kind of, there's that road trip mentality and road trip camaraderie that you get after going through that. And, you know, you don't want to do a big 8-hour trip or anything like that, but, you know, an hour, 2, maybe 3 hours, and then having that, you know, part two of it, you know, down at your destination, those are going to be really powerful and really fun and something unique out there, that it's not just one more afternoon I have to go sit and listen to someone talk. The fifth kind of pop-up event is the pop-up book signing. This can benefit two different groups of folks. So one is, you could, you know, be a business that actually sponsors a known author, a semi-known author, that's looking for, either they've just released a book and they're on tour, and you can provide the space, right? A non-traditional space. If you have an office building or, you know, a common area downtown, have that out front, outside of your building. Get away from the thought that you have to be at a restaurant or a bookstore or anything like that, and have an area that their target reader is going to be anyway, passing by your building, or you find a neutral area that's out in a common area downtown near you, and sponsor that author, and then you get a ton of social media credibility and just linkage with that well-known author, and you'd be amazed with who you can get, I'll say, to come and be a part of something like that. When authors are releasing, having their big book launches, they want help, and they want help selling books en masse. So if you can do two things with that as a business owner, is you can help them spread the word and sell books there, and also buy a big amount from them, and both of those will gain their interest, and that gets your brand associated with that author really quickly. Now, you can also use this if you're the author, right? If you're a completely unknown author, and you've got a new book coming out, make your own 20-city tour, for goodness sake, and go have these little pop-up book signings. They're fantastic for social media. Again, have them in these places that's, you know, in the lobby of a super busy building. You know, you're going to find, you know, certain businesses and certain companies that are going to let you do that in an afternoon. Then all of a sudden, all over social media, you're talking about your 20-city book tour, and it just gains more and more and more exposure. Not to mention the people you meet one-on-one during that tour, during that pop-up event, even if it's just one in your area, and those fans and that community that you develop through that, those can be really powerful. And number six is a tech demo event. These are always popular, in person and certainly all over YouTube, right? You know, unboxing videos and demonstrations of the latest technology. And now it's a no-brainer, right, for, you know, a company that builds technology products to have as many of these sort of, you know, pop-up events as they can have. Find businesses whose customers and employees love this stuff and have these pop-up events. That's kind of a no-brainer, right? They want to get in front of as many people like that as possible. But there's such a win for businesses to do a tech demo event when they have a customer base that loves. Even if that business isn't a technology company, if they know that their user base, maybe they're a software as a service company, or anything else, that they know that they've done their work on building that avatar, right, that customer avatar, and that avatar, that their core customer loves technology no matter what. So you can go out as a business owner and then target these, you know, bring in these technology companies. Everyone's always willing to come and showcase their products or services when there's a decent, legitimate venue to do so. And so create that, you know, either rent a space, have it in your own building, and then you invite your clients and prospects to come be a part of that. And suddenly your business, your company is associated with all of this cutting edge technology. And now with that put together, your company gets associated with all these cutting edge technology companies, And in your client and prospects' minds, you're one and the same. So when they think of what they love the most, these cutting-edge things, and they need what your business offers, you're that first choice. You're that top-of-mind decision right there. So there you go, six pop-up events, some great, unique event marketing ideas that I would love to see you implement, see more people implement, because I think there's so much value in getting people, you know, to connect offline, as Raj Daniels, you know, episode one of the Jason Croft Show, you know, his whole mission is in life is getting people to connect offline. And that connection is just so powerful. So much business gets done and life gets done that way. And events like these are just fantastic in implementing those and helping people come together. So if you like this video, please subscribe, leave some comments. Let me know if there's I'm sure there's 20 other pop-up event ideas that I've completely forgot about. But put those in the comments. Let me know. We'll talk through those. Maybe we want to make another video highlighting some of those. Hope this was helpful. Please subscribe to the channel. We've got great interviews coming up and more videos just like this. We'll see you on the next one.
So much for coming. My name is Karen, and I am the POS Specialist Team Lead. I'm here from Toronto, and we have a number of POS specialists here, also from Toronto and Ottawa. And something that we do a lot of is we do a lot of these in-person activations and pop-ups. So what I want to talk to you about today are some of the experiences that we have had, learnings that we've had. We want to pass them on to you. So if you're ever thinking about selling in person, even if it's a year down the line, these are just some things to consider. And also know that we are here all the time. So we'll give you our contacts, our emails. If you ever have questions, you want to run something past us, workshop an idea, something like your Printful question, we are here to help you. So we're going to talk about two things today. The first is, why should you run a pop-up? Like, why should you do this in the first place? Why should you be selling in person? And we also want to talk about how to prepare for your pop-up once you decide to do that. So the first and the biggest reason is to start establishing your brand and building a relationship with your customers in person. The best way to get to know who you're selling to is to meet those customers in person, to get to know their needs, and to really drive traffic back to your online store. So most of the pop-ups that we work on, that's the primary purpose for them. They use it as a marketing tool, they use it to get to know who their customers are, and just to have that in-person experience build confidence in their brand. Of course, sales are another reason. There are huge sales doing pop-ups in the U.S. alone. And also the cost of opening a brick-and-mortar location is huge. The investment is a big one. This is a great way to test the market. If you're thinking about a brick-and-mortar location, doing some pop-ups, whether it's in a venue that you're renting, a conference, a trade show, farmers market, wherever, this is a great way to test your ideas. And location, you can sell anywhere. If you have Wi-Fi on the airplane, you can sell on the airplane. You can sell anywhere you want, doesn't matter. Shopify wants to make it possible for you to sell anywhere you have a phone and Wi-Fi or data connection. So don't limit yourself to the things that we're talking about today. Anything you think of is certainly possible. So customers buy a lot when they're shopping in person. They're gonna fill their cart more than they will online. So incentive to purchase more items. How are you going to prepare for this pop-up? We've done a ton of these things. We're never fully prepared. This list is growing every time we do this. A lot of these are learnings that we have had from making big, big mistakes. We always fix them in the moment. Things always end up going perfectly, but we want to pass on things that we know to you. So the first thing you want to do is decide, where are you going to sell? Are you going to sell at a craft show? Do you want to rent a space? Is it a craft fair, trade show? Where are you going to find your customers? If you're renting a space, a big thing to consider, not just the front of house where you're selling, what's the back of house going to look like? Do you have space to store your products? Do you have a lot of staff? Do your staff have places to take breaks? All of those things are things to consider, especially if you're not a retailer and haven't done this before. So they are things that come up and you may be stuck in the moment. So think front of house, back of house. How are you going to get your products to the place that you're selling? If it's a venue, a retail space that you're renting, is there a back door? Is there a space for loading? Are you going to be walking boxes in through the front door when you're restocking products? What's that going to look like? If it's a craft fair, trade show, how are you going to get to your table? Can you rent a dolly at the venue? What's that going to look like for you? Now, I will say we did this pop-up in New York, BeautyCon, and our booth was way at the back. And even just the POS team, we didn't think about how we were going to get our hardware there. So we found some IKEA bags in the back of our car and had to cart all the POS hardware. I will never do that again. I will always plan for a dolly. So make sure you think about those things. Now, no matter what you're doing, make sure you think about marketing your pop-up and create a marketing plan for your event. Are you going to have exclusive products that are available only at that time? If so, how are you going to share that with your customers? Will you have a celebrity, VIP, even if it's like your local mayor or somebody people recognize? What's going to draw people to your event or your pop-up? And I want you to think, too, we use the word pop-up a ton at Shopify. It can mean anything. It's anytime you're selling in person. Make sure you know that we're not just exclusively talking about a spot that you're renting. So social, super key. You want to make sure that you have program posts, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. There are tons of apps that will do these things for you. This is a great time to talk to gurus. They will be able to advise you on great apps that you can use for programming your posts. What are you going to sell? I know it seems silly, but you may be planning all the big picture things, but not like the actual items that you're selling. So if you're selling items, are they the same things you're selling online? They may be the same, but maybe you're pricing them differently. You need to plan that ahead of time. Create separate collections, like we were talking about with Printful. You can have a POS-only collection, an online collection. You can create separate discounts for those items that you're selling in person. Whatever it is, just know what you're doing ahead of time so that you're not scrambling in the moment. Sometimes this is a fact that gets left till the last minute. People are setting up their point of sale app, setting up their products at the last minute, and it can be very stressful. So designing your space. Make sure you're considering, no matter if it's just you at a table, you in a conference room here, what's it going to look like? Plan for the flow of customers. Now, we designed this specifically to be a crowded space. We wanted to give you guys the feel of a pop-up and some urgency for items. If you have an item like our card reader, which is not available everywhere, it's very hard to get, we wanted to create some urgency around that. So we have a cramped space, and we wanted to have a lineup. So we did that on purpose. Just so that you know, it's something to think about. Do you want your customers to feel like they have to have it and they have to line up? It's a good thing to have. It's a good thing, especially if you're at a conference, at a trade show, for other people to see that lineup. You're in demand. What are people waiting for? So merchandising your products. This is something you can definitely do it on the fly, but it's a great idea to plan ahead of time. What products do you want to show? Do you need props to merchandise your products? What kinds of things do you want your customers to see, and what do you want to stand out? And again, I want to mention, Shopify has a number of excellent resources. We have this great guide. I think it's called How to Prepare, or Ultimate Pop-Up Guide. It has a ton of great information on visual merchandising and planning your store. So I definitely recommend going there. So security, this is a huge one. You want to make sure, no matter if it's just you or you have a huge, like the Kylie Jenner pop-up that we did in Los Angeles, you are planning for security. So make sure your products are secure. Planning your customer experience. So what are you selling? What do you want your customers to have access to? If you're selling makeup, like in this image here, do you have a mirror? Do you have testers? How can your customers try on your product? That sort of thing. So no matter what it is you're doing, put yourself in your customer's shoes. What would you need in order to buy that product? And the experience is not limited to just trying on or testing products. It's also, what's the experience at cash? What's the lineup like? What's the exchange with the person that's selling the item. So this was a really intimate setting, and people had to line up for a long time to get these products, but they were able to have space and have a conversation with the salesperson. So making it really easy for your customers to shop. So you have a lot of really small items. How are your customers going to hang on to those items? So in this Kylie pop-up, we had baskets. We had tons of tiny makeup baskets. Tiny makeup boxes. So we wanted them to fill the baskets and to buy as much as possible, but we also wanted to keep an eye on people and make sure that things weren't going missing. So this was a great thing that worked for both security and for the customer experience. Planning your checkout. Now, you may have a case where you sell a lot to younger customers that are using cash. If you want to have a couple of registers, think about, do you want to have a cash-only checkout, credit-only checkout? Sometimes you don't know these things until you get there in the situation, and you may have to shift gears. But plan the checkout experience so that it's the easiest flow possible for your customers and have the experience that you are designing. So the logistics. These are the little things that a lot of people let slip through the cracks. Most of this list is compiled of our own terrible experiences that we have ended up turning into a great guide for us every time we go into these IRL situations. So what are your pop-up policies or your con policies? The biggest one is returns. So will you be accepting returns? Think about what that's going to do to your lineup if you're allowing people to return items. Now, it's often the case that maybe you're going to give away or you're going to give out the wrong product and that someone will have to return it, but are you going to be allowing for that on just a regular basis? You can add proper signage ahead of time to let people know that maybe that's not your policy. Preparing your checkout. So if you're accepting cash, are you planning your cash floats? We had a huge pop-up in New York, the Big Sean pop-up, I will say that. We had this big pop-up, and we didn't plan. We didn't do the planning for the cash flows, and we didn't advise those merchants to come prepared. So day of, we showed up, and there were no cash flows, and they weren't sure what a cash float was. So we were able to scramble it together. Absolutely, you can do anything at the last minute, but it's always a good idea to plan that ahead of time. And also to think about the kind of change that you'll be giving. So if you go to a store and they have a cash register, they're going to have ones, fives, and then lots of change. So make sure you have change to give back to your customers. And generally people, we usually like $100, $200, lots of coins. And probably one would be the majority of the, but we can talk more about that too. And then plan for cash drops. Like, what are you going to do with that cash once you have it? Do you have a safe? Are you running to the bank? Is that just you? Do you have a partner? What's going to happen to that cash once you have to take it out of the register? A lot of people just do credit only. So it's not a requirement. It's just something to consider. So appropriate size shopping bags. What are you selling? If you're selling small items, then you only need small bags. But what if you're selling makeup and giant sweatshirts? We've been in that situation where we didn't have the right size bags and we've had to accommodate in the moment. But if you can think about all the different combinations of products that you'll be putting into bags, you'll be more comfortable and more prepared. Making sure you have all the supplies you need ahead of time. I will say a big one for us is receipt paper. We do print a lot of receipts and oftentimes we'll show up and we forget the receipt paper and have to do a last-minute run to Staples. So just put that on your to-do list. Bring some extra receipt printer paper if you are printing receipts. A side piece to that is that we definitely allow for emailed receipts. So if you're using our POS, it is not a requirement to print receipts. It's just, what's that? Oh, and text, yep, text message as well. So that also includes like Sharpies, Post-it notes, any other little things that you may need. Definitely Sharpies, pens, they're always things that we end up needing, and tape. So make your list of supplies, have a box, and have it ready to go. Preparing your checkout, acquiring point-of-sale hardware. So hopefully by the time you all leave today, you'll have a card reader. If you choose to use other hardware like a cash drawer, receipt printer, barcode scanner, that sort of thing, make sure you're ordering it and planning it ahead of time, so not just a week in advance. We do have, I think our shortest shipping time is 7 days.
You can have it in a couple
a couple of days, but I would definitely think 2 weeks ahead of time. And planning for proper signage. Now, no matter what kind of signage you're talking about, whether it's signage to let your customers know what the price of products are, wayfinding in a venue or con, make sure you think about that, print those signs out, have them printed, whatever, bring them with you ahead of time so that you're not just using your Sharpies and paper to make signs at the last minute. Staffing. Who's going to be working? Is it just you? Is it your business partner? Who's going to be with you? Are there 10 people that you've hired to staff this pop-up? Think about that ahead of time so that you're not scrambling at the last minute. Planning for staff breaks. Now, whether you've got a staff of 20 or 40 or it's just you, how are you going to the bathroom if it's just you? How are you getting your lunch? You don't have to know the answer, but think about it ahead of time. And if you are, even if it's just two people at a pop-up, make sure you're taking appropriate breaks, being able to go to the washroom. You can get to the bathroom. Sorry, we're Canadian. and make sure you think about that. It's just something to consider. So training on the point of sale app or on your store policies, even if it's just you, make sure you know how to use the app before you get there. You'll be an expert if you've run one or two sales. It's really not that hard, but know what you can do. We have lots of excellent webinars, resources, gurus, our point of sale specialist team here today that can help with that. But make sure you know before you get there. Let your staff know what your store policies are, and make sure people are trained, I would say, a few hours ahead of time. You don't want it much more than that because people will forget, but make sure that you're prepared in that way to actually take payments, because that, at the end of the day, is absolutely the most important thing and really why you're here doing this. A strong Wi-Fi connection. Hugely important, especially with Shopify. Make sure you have a Wi-Fi or data connection. No matter what that is, we also recommend backups. So when we, especially when we go to conferences, we will bring jetpacks, Wi-Fi jetpacks, just to make sure that we always have a connection in case something happens with the one that we've purchased. So keep that in mind. And powering all of your devices. How are you going to power? Now, the card reader, it holds charge, I believe, for about 5 hours. But what's going to happen after that? How are you going to power it? If you don't have access to a power source, bring one of those portable chargers. Just think about it, and also know you're going to need to power your device. We also have this awesome MPOP that is an all-in-one receipt printer and cash drawer. That also needs power. So just make sure anything you're using, that you can power it. And just back to backups. If you're using an iPad, oftentimes we will make sure our phones are always charged in case we need to use our iPhones as a backup hotspot for Wi-Fi. So make sure you have power for every device that you have. So thank you very much. If you have... <thanks. laughs> So again, if you have any questions, we're going to be doing a quick Q&A afterwards. And I want to introduce Yash from This Open Space. So This Open Space is a marketplace for space, and their mission is to make it as easy to sell in real life as it is online. So, Yash, thank you.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me here. Also Canadian. yay. I was going to be down here anyways, and the Shopify team said they were doing this, so I was really excited to be here. I'd love to have a two-way conversation with you guys and hear about what you guys are thinking of, and if start with a show of hands. Who's done a pop-up before? And there you go. And who's thinking of doing one in the next 12 months? Okay, awesome. So we have a marketplace. We have about 1,600 spaces listed on our site. We're in Vancouver, Toronto, New York. We'll be in San Francisco soon, early 2018, but we're not here yet. But I'd love to tell you a little bit about what we do, how we help merchants. This is actually something we did with the Shopify team. So we helped the weekend find this space for a pop-up in Toronto, and it was powered by Shopify's POS. We have a partnership with Shopify where every host on This Open Space, every space that's there for retail gets a Shopify POS. So when you show up there to sell, if you don't have yours, you can use theirs, or if you're just getting started and you don't even have a Shopify store, it's a great way to get started there. And if you book a pop-up space through our site, you can request one of these to get sent to you for free. So really excited to have that partnership. But would love to answer any questions you guys have. What we do is we have a self-serve marketplace, so you can go and book a pop-up space. But pop-ups take a lot of work, and we understand that. So we have an account management team that will actually go and scout spaces for you and do the lease negotiations if you can't find what you're looking for in the marketplace. How bit of background on myself, like how I started the company 4 years ago, actually, around this week, I needed a pop-up space for my last company. We were going to open a pop-up cafe and couldn't find anything to do it in, so we ended up actually taking our own space, turn it into a space that's available for pop-ups, something that really wasn't around 4 years ago, and that's how this open space started 4 years ago. So I totally understand how hard pop-ups are and how much work it is, and when you were going through that, it was like flashback for me, because one of those things that could go wrong did go wrong. Including booking a pop-up space for a cafe without thinking that I need a sink. So that's a whole other thing, too. So what we are thinking a lot about is how do we make this really easy for Shopify merchants or anybody that sells online. And one of the things we're working on next is a product where all you have to do is ship your products to this open space, and we'll do everything else for you. So all of the staffing, the merchandising, the logistics, all of that. One of the things that I want to add, and that was wonderful, by the way, that kind of covered everything. One of the things I'd add is, like, when you're starting to do a pop-up, there's really, I find, two goals to start with. Is it a marketing goal? So are you trying to increase your audience? Or is it sales? And sometimes you get you do it really well, and it ends up being both. So it ends up being a revenue-generating billboard for you. But oftentimes trying to do both ends up not doing either one as well as it could be. So kind of really be clear about your goal when you're starting it. And if you do choose marketing and you end up getting a lot of sales, then awesome, good on you. So what I really have in these slides or anything, I just wanted to have a two-way conversation with you guys about it. So if there's any questions that you guys have, if you're thinking of pop-up, I'd love to answer them. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Pricing. There's a couple of different types of spaces. So you can have your own space, which is the entire space, and you're typically taking over something that's sitting empty. And the landlords on that side, it depends on the landlord and depends on where the space is. And so you have some landlords that really see the value of pop-up. This particular landlord in Toronto is probably a developer called Hallmark, and they offer really fair prices because they know that the tenants will end up signing long-term leases. So after the weekend of the pop-up here, Universal Records signed a long-term lease for their Canadian offices with the same landlord. So that's a big value add. So if you're going there and you're looking for those kind of spaces that are sitting empty otherwise, think about and one thing we do on your behalf is really sell the landlord of, hey, this brand can become a potential long-term tenant for you, so let's get the pricing down for them. And that's on the account managed side of things. We also are probably the most accessible marketplace in that we offer a lot of spaces in shared spaces. So if you're not ready to take on an entire space yourself, maybe you can do a pop-up over a weekend inside of an art gallery that's sitting empty otherwise. Or maybe you can rent a space within an existing store. And I'd say if it's your first couple pop-ups, that's probably the best way to go. And there's always a balance between finding the right place that fits with your brand as well. But I would strongly encourage, if it's your first time doing a pop-up, either find other brands who've done it before and do it with them and sell complementary products, or find an existing space so you don't have to take on a heavier lease. In terms of our pricing, we have the most competitive. So most of the marketplaces take most of their fees from the host, from the landlord. We also take it from landlord, but we take a 10 to 15% fee from the landlord, whereas some of the other competitors are 15 all the way to 25%. I will repeat the question. The question was, can you make sure you repeat the questions?
Why don't we actually open it up to general POS questions as well? Yeah. Karen, if anybody has questions for Karen, we'll do this,
or Kirsten,
like a little Q&A.
Well. I should also introduce Kirsten. So she runs the point of sale specialist team as well as the hardware store. So she
another Canadian.
And anybody that you see with the Shopify shirts with the purple logo, they are a point of sale specialist and can help you with any questions as well.
All right. Is everybody being shy, or do we have any more questions? Yeah.
Sure. So the question is, when we do help brands find pop-ups, are we doing helping them with insurance and some of the other logistics that go behind it? So our marketplace includes general liability coverage up to $2 million for at no additional cost. So if that's included for free. If you need anything additional to that, then we'll help you with our insurance provider. So the question was, is there an application process, and do we help find similar brands with similar products to do it? So we have a self-serve marketplace with over 1,600 spaces, and that means you can go on your phone right now and book a pop-up space within minutes, and it's going to be yours. We also have a second product that we're coming out with that we actually haven't quite announced yet, but it's called...
I have now.
But it's called Stores by This Open Space. And so what we're doing is providing full-service stores where we get 15 to 30 brands together in at once. We curate the theme. We provide merchandising, fixtures, staffing, all of that. We have all your products there at once, and it's on a monthly subscription fee to be in the store. Yeah, so the question was, how do pop-ups for food and beverage work, and how we manage that? So on our marketplace, we have spaces available for food as well. Kind of my own problem of not knowing a space needs a sink. So you can filter by spaces that have a kitchen or a commercial kitchen so that you can be well prepared if you have food and beverage. So the question was around, I guess, food health and safety licensing that you have to get for the pop-ups and the costs around that. So typically the pop-ups that happen through our platform are about a week in length, and we found that that's actually a really good time, like a weekend to a week is a perfect length of time. Our team will provide support in kind of pointing you in the right direction for the permitting that you need to get. For that, food and beverage does add a layer of complication on it. So we always kind of say if you can go with somebody that already has the food and beverage licensing, so like maybe an existing cafe or restaurant that's closed after hours, those are kind of the best partner to go with. So for a couple of spaces that we have on our marketplace that are our own, we do offer nonprofit rates for those. So we typically offer between a 5 to 10% discount for nonprofits on those. And if you want to talk to me after, I can give you like a little code too as well. You could use. So right now we're just in Vancouver, Toronto, and New York, and that's where our marketplace is, but we're going to be in San Francisco soon as well.
So she was asking about nonprofit, but are there any things that you do as a company to help businesses get started with their pop-ups internally? You were mentioning something in New York to me earlier.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Okay, so we have a space fund that we just launched, and there's about 22 days, if I'm not mistaken, to apply for it. So what we've done is we have $30,000 for brands who are just looking to get started with a pop-up. So many of you put your hands up, looking to do a pop-up in the next 12 months. New York's a great space for, place for it. It's probably the best city in the world for a pop-up in that you have a massive audience. So we're giving brands a chance to get $30,000, up to $30,000 credit on this open space. We have about 30 prize levels available, so we have kind of $6,000, $3,000, and all the way to like $500 credits on this open space. So if you're thinking about a pop-up, the link to it is thisopenspace.com/space fund.
And you'll be here for the next little while to talk to people about that if they have questions. Write down and
so thisopenspace.com/space fund. F-U-N-D. Also, Space Fund would have been a good name for it, but Space Fund.
I think we have time for one more question if someone's got one for us. Perfect. It looks like that wraps it up. So I wanted to thank you so much for being here with
Thanks
us today,
Yash.
It really means a lot. We're really excited about this partnership, and it's a huge opportunity to start exploring that market. Like he was mentioning, you know, you can have a spot in 5 minutes from exploring that market and be sponsored with the Shopify point of sale. So you're pretty much covered. Also, we do have our pop-up open. If you've already stopped by, please do let people who are new joiners come on in and get a card reader. So it is one card reader per shop as a reminder. We do have some food and beverage that we're going to have as well. And anybody who's Shopify staff or Yash, we're happy to chat with you about your Shopify POS or pop-up marketplace needs.
And we will be following up again with an email of any links, anything we've discussed here today.
And the to-do list is in your shopping bag
yes.
that we talked about today. We've printed that out and supplied it for you. If you need a second copy, just come ask us and we'll give you another one. Thanks again. Yeah.
Welcome back. Now you already know what a pop-up event means, the benefits of hosting a pop-up event, and why you need to host a pop-up event if you have a brand. This week, I'm going to be taking you on the checklist of, I'm going to take you on the checklist of the things that you need to have or know when doing a pop-up. You need a guest list. Your guest list should contain influencers, fashion influencers, it could be beauty influencers if your pop-up is around beauty or influencers around the industry that you're in. You need celebrity friends, your customers, a guest list containing your customers, celebrities, media people, editors, fashionistas, Instagram models, guests that you think that make your event pop or buy your product. You need a guest list. Number two, after you've created a guest list, before your announcement, actually, like I said last week, you need a flyer. By your flyer, I mean that's the flyer you use to send out to people, but that's the first flyer you say this is the date you're saving, or you use to pitch out to media partners and your vendors. So number two, you need a flyer and an invitation. You need to create something simple. I've told you last week, as a small business owner, there's different apps or different tools that you can use to create digital apps, example Canva. So you don't need to contact a graphic designer anymore. You can use Canva to create a small flyer or a short flyer. I don't need to pay anyone to create a flyer for you. So like I've been saying since, this is all on a small budget. Creating a pop-up is on a small budget. So you need a guest list, and your guest list will contain people that are, you know, you can easily afford to contact. So you need a flyer. For me, like as soon as I know and I've confirmed that this is the space that we're using and this is what we're going to set up, invitations, immediately start sending out your invitation as a flyer. I'll send it to clients, send it to customers, send it to editors, and send it to everyone. Once you've got that right, you need props. I mean, for your background or for your backdrop, you don't have to do anything serious. You can do something simple. Go on Pinterest. Find out how you can create like a small wall where you can take pictures of people. You can just create little stuff for you. For Ella Red, we had to do like a prop or a simple board. It didn't have to be a red carpet. It didn't have to be a backdrop with flyers and all the names and the media partners written on it. It can be something different and it can be something fun. Number four, you need entertainment. You need food, you need music, you need a DJ or a playlist. So by food, I mean you don't have to go overboard and spend money and buy plenty of food for people. You want to sell and you want people to come and buy. So as much as people are coming from the various places, they might be coming from afar or they're here to meet you, you shall need to entertain them. And by entertain them, I mean you need some kind of finger food. It could be small chops. something simple. It's not expensive to make small chops that you can do by yourself or to hire someone who can do small chops for you. Music, you don't have to hire a DJ. Like I said, on my last episode, I said there are so many tools that business owners can use to relax. You can also use these business tools to create stuff for yourself. So say you have this pop-up event, you don't have to hire a DJ, you don't have to hire anyone. Create a playlist for yourself. If you can afford a DJ, why not? But if you can't, create a playlist, sit down, spend a day, listen to songs, and create a playlist of how you want your vibe or the vibe that you want your pop-up party to go as. So you don't necessarily have to hire a DJ. Next, you need a photographer. A photographer will help you capture moments that you'd always remember. So a photographer would save you the energy or save you the time of using your phone to go around to take pictures. You need a photographer as well as a videographer. You also need a videographer at least to record the moment. Like I said, we're in 2017. Content is going huge and big. I've said this over and over again. Record, even with your phone, record what you have or record whatever you're doing. Create a story behind it. Someday you definitely need it and you go down to your archives and dig all of this to get them out and shoot or to... You need this content. Ring, I've rang this bell in your head severally. Social media is a tool. Use social media as a tool. Use it, share your information, share your flyer, share your messages, tell people about it, tag your friends, tell your friends to share with their friends, tell your followers to share with their followers. Invite people personally, send them DMs, tell them what you want them, how you want them. If they can make it, you would love to have them. Share with your community. I mean, use social media as a tool. Don't use it to just put a flyer, just whatever, take pictures and all. You can use it to tell people what you are all about. Like what I did personally as the event consultant for social media, we use social media and technology to drive traffic towards events, creating a fashion film for Ifa Iwuna and LRS campaign. We use social media to put out word in terms of Adela makeup as well. So you use social media as a tool. You need to create new experiences for people. Show people what you've been up to towards your event, what you're up to, how the bags are being packaged, what you guys are doing, how you're stealing clothes. Let people know what you're up to towards your event, I mean. We do a recap. Even if you're using a space of that already has everything fully functional, you still need to get extra fans. Get fans in your space when you pop up so people don't get hot and sweaty. I realized that there's loads of these events that we go for. People start sweating and people are hot. They want to hurry up. They don't even want to check out the clothes or the product or the service anymore because they are uncomfortable. So you need to set up, you need to get fans. And it's not a must to actually give people a goodie bag because you want people to come and buy, like I said, goodie bag and food is not a must. But to the editors, to the celebrities, to the people you've invited, to the influencers, you want them to leave their houses and come and shop with you. At least give them something that away from what they're coming to shop or to see. Maybe a goodie bag that contains some tiny freebies. Make sure you have that prepared for your guests. And on the day of the event, be there early. Be ready to train yourself. Be there early to train yourself. Educate yourself. Remind them what they're meant to do. You've already told them already, but be there early to tell them again. Make sure everything is set up. Make sure that what you say to set up is not set up in a different way. Because sometimes you can ask people to set up something straight, and the next thing you come, they set it up like this. So be there early to train your staff and tell them what you want them to do. And finally, after the event, follow up with people. Send people a thank you message. Tell them thank you. It's not just about putting up the post or post-event on social media. Say, this is here is what happened at the NRS Summer Party and blah, blah, blah. Thank people. Send people thank you messages for coming through. Tell them you would love to see them again at the store. Even though the sales are over, you would love to see them again another time. You would love to see them. Let them know how you feel or... just say a thank you message to people. Yeah, we've come to the end of this episode. It was fun hanging out with you guys. I loved hanging out. If you have any questions, thank you for keeping the questions and the emails coming through. I love them. They're giving me ideas for new content. It's helping me. So I begin to think now that we're all producers of the show. So thank you guys for emailing me your questions. If you've got topics you want me to talk about, send them to me. DM me. Tell me what you feel. Don't send me DM. I've been getting the hi hello DMs. I'm not going to answer your hi hello DMs. I want to talk about how you too can develop your skills and become a better person. So thank you for subscribing and thank you for tuning in on the ESSO series. I'll see you next time.
I am Anthony, co-founder of Slaw. We are aiming to bring plant-based grab-and-go lunches to London. We'll be right back.
I've always sort of been, I guess, interested in other parts of vegetables and sort of wondering why people don't use them when they're edible and they're delicious and they can be really exciting. As I was cooking more and more vegetables, I was sort of trying to use different interesting ways of using them, and I just like the idea of challenging yourself within the confines of one vegetable, finding different ways of using it, different parts of the vegetables to use. So tonight's event is, I guess, a bit about showcasing the kind of food that we want to use in the lunch places, but also just seeing how people from a range of different dietary types respond to it. So for instance, whether we are appealing to just the vegans, vegetarians, or whether we are, as hoped, appealing to a range of different backgrounds. I just, my sister's calling, so I want to see. Pav? How many tickets? I can probably go up to, I mean, I'm 43, so I could go up to 44. So my sister is over from Berlin, and she is only over for a few days, but hasn't been able to come to one of my pop-ups yet. So straight before this, I set up a salad dressing business. Before that, I was doing wealth management. So the biggest leap, I guess, was from the wealth management to salad dressing. I think it was just a general feeling that there was a lack of creativity, a lack of ability to be innovative, and it's quite a regulated industry, which it should be, but as a result, you're not really given the opportunity to do much and think much outside the box. You kind of end up just conforming and doing ticking boxes.
Route has some traffic. You will arrive at 16:24.
So we are driving to Bethnal Green for the pop-up. We've got 44 people now coming for a four-course pop-up, all plant-based. Intention was to have 40, but have had about four added on today. The majority are just people who follow us on Instagram, because that's the main way we promoted it, is through Instagram. It's a great tool because we're a fairly visual brand. If you send out emails or something, you're much more likely to get quick responses, people to book straight away. Whereas Instagram, you sometimes need to remind people a couple of times. So it's 7 o'clock, we've got half an hour till people start getting here, and then we've got 15 minutes, and then we'll get the beetroot crostaldo crostini out, and then that'll be the start, and then we'll hopefully be quite quick getting through all the dishes. Just need to make sure all the prep is done, and then we're good to go. A little bit nervous, just thinking we're gonna get there, also processing as I'm talking to you how much I've got to do. So that kind of vibe at the moment.
Well, where do I start? So we have Hessian cloth and some holly and some dried fruit, and that's the kind of it. I'd love to say it was rocket science, but pretty simple. I would describe it as the new way of eating. It makes grains and healthy food exciting.
We've got 43.
Okay. He keeps it pretty calm. I don't know if you've noticed today, but somehow he kind of just keeps us cool even when everything goes sour. So I guess that's the best thing that could happen.
So it is, I think, about 22, quarter two. Still waiting on, I think, half the guests. We are going to start plating up anyway. I think we just need to get it out there, and it's cold as well, so it's not not going to be too much of an issue if we... Feeling very good about the first course. We got it out a little bit behind schedule, but for the most part, all plain sailing. So we're happy.
So it's the morning after the pop-up, feeling pretty happy with how it all went last night. Bit tired this morning, but and only have a bit of washing up to do. The worst moment from last night was car drive to pillbox, just because of it's always stressful when it's taking a bit longer than expected and you're in traffic. The best moment of last night was just speaking to people at the end of the night, because it's always good to hear their thoughts and see whether they're interested in the concept.
Every time you ask me like one thing you want me to do, I'm like, I can't do that.
What?
Like that.
Oh, no, you didn't. Wait a minute. No, you didn't. Hey, Jay! Hey! Jay! 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 Come back here! Jay! You disloyal, fool-ass, bitch-made punk. Jay! I need my money! Jay! Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. Huh? You think you can do this shit? Jay! You think you can do this to me? You motherfuckers will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, nigga. 23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the police. I run shit here. You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go on, walk away, because I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me.
That's the new girl. It's her first day. Some people say there'll be trouble. Some people saw trouble coming right from the start.
Morning, Dad.
Morning, Miss Wright.
Got a rush. Cat knocked over the alarm.
Careful on the turn.
Management begins at home. You're late.
Guilty, sir.
You'd better hurry. My coffee's probably getting cold.
No wonder I love to get up in the morning. I've got such a nice boss to look forward to. Incidentally, did you see the urgent note I left on your pad last night?
Top policy meeting at 9:15?
Yes. Mr. Dennis got back from Washington late yesterday, and he called the meeting after you'd gone.
Thanks. This must be the new government contract. Was there any explanation?
I tried to finesse some information from his secretary, Beth. But she's as informative as a quiz program.
Okay, I better get going. Have some hot coffee waiting for me.
Yes, sir. Good office management begins at home.
They'll quit. First one, then another. Whatever they do, they're going to make hell for that first Negro girl you put on the payroll.
Look, Mark, we're not walking into this blindfolded. Now, Todd doesn't pay me to manage personnel so that personnel can run the plant the way it wants.
What does that mean? That you're going to sit behind every secretary with a gun in her back?
It means we can put this new policy through without trouble. Now, of course, we'll have to move slowly at first, no matter how badly we need them.
Now you've said it. We need them, gentlemen. The Negro represents a labor force that hasn't even begun to be tapped. How about it, Kurt? Your department's been crying for help. Think we can make it work?
Maybe. Works in the shop. Negro and white hands work side by side. We don't have any trouble.
Well, how was it when you started?
Not bad. There was a lot of talk about trouble. But the union was on our side that time. They called a meeting, and by the time they were through, there wasn't any opposition.
Those were men, Kurt. They worked with their hands. How about women?
Women are different.
I think we're asking for trouble.
Just what is it we are afraid of? Bad publicity? Money? Or are we maybe raising problems to hide our own prejudices?
Look, Lyle, I don't think I'm a bigot.
Lyle didn't say that, Mark.
And I don't think I'm a man of prejudices. At least not any that I'd let interfere with profits. My department is sales. I'm mostly on the outside, and the man I sell the product to doesn't care what color the girl is who types up the bill. So because I'm on the outside, I get around. I hear stories.
What kind of stories? Strikes? Slowdowns?
Trouble, that's all. Let's call it morale. A lot of white girls just don't want to work next to a Negro girl, whether you like it or not.
Well, now I'll tell you something. I'm not running for election, and I'm not going to run scared. No 20-year-old stenographer is going to tell me how to run my business. I've just come back from Washington. I met there with the President's Committee on Government Contracts. Believe me, it was no tea party between me and the committee. They were talking business.
Since when is the President's Committee running Dennis Industries?
We're not talking just about Dennis Industries when we talk about this. We're talking national policy.
That's not new. We've had it ever since World War II.
Under the President's directive, no company can deal with the government, can get a contract, unless its policies are clearly non-discriminatory.
But don't we employ Negroes on the production line?
That's not enough. As long as we set up a color line at the front door of the offices, or any line for that matter, we are discriminating.
Aren't we also responsible to the stockholders? We can't afford...
We can afford anything our competition can. If we can't, we don't belong in business. From this meeting on, our policy will be to hire every person we need strictly according to ability. If you want to set an example, put the first Negro secretary in my office.
Nope. Not on your life, Todd. And have 12 girls quit because we're giving away one of the most worked for jobs in the organization? Now that would be discrimination.
That's the same. I feel sorry for the first girl you hire. She'd better be strong.
You're right, Kirk. She's got to be handpicked. She's got to be so likable that any white girl with a chip on her shoulder will think twice before she starts any trouble. And so efficient that any man she works for will consider himself lucky. You know, I think the announcement of policy ought to come from your office, Todd, not just from personnel. We want every single person in this outfit to know that you're behind it, down to the last typist in the pool. Every girl working here should be made to feel that she's involved in putting through this new policy.
Right.
Is that it?
That's about it.
We gotta get going.
Well, I'll go over the new policy with you with my office.
They've got to live, too.
Who said they don't?
Oh, take it easy, you two. It hasn't even happened yet.
I tell you, I know it for a fact. I got it on the best authority.
Oh, right from the horse's mouth.
Well, go ahead, laugh. Maybe you won't think it so funny when one of them is sitting at the desk next to you, or at your desk, maybe.
That I wouldn't wish on anybody.
Hi.
What's the joke?
Some joke.
The voice of doom here, spreading her usual morning cheer.
Yes, and this morning she's colorblind.
Very funny. She's got some very confidential information on the best authority.
I tell you, it's going to happen.
It sounds terrible.
It is.
Oh, we're all going to lose our jobs.
Not so loud. I happen to need my job.
Me, I'll quit first.
Well, what would we do without you?
Oh, probably invite my replacement down here.
Marge, what's she talking about?
Oh, you know Ella. She claims they're going to start hiring some Negro office help around here.
So what?
Well, if they do, I quit.
You're kidding. Go ahead, Kit. You tell them. Me, they laugh at.
Kit, you don't mean that.
Yes, I do.
You don't misunderstand me. I haven't got anything against them. Take Ned, the guard at the door, for instance. We're good friends, and I like him. That doesn't mean that I want him or his sister working in the office with me. Girls, I don't bother them and they don't bother me. That's the way I mean to keep it.
Where are you working now, Mary?
Lane's. At least I was this morning. I might not be this afternoon if I don't get back pretty soon.
Mr. Graham should be free in a minute. He told you what he wants to talk to you about?
All I know is he said, how would I really like to go to work? And could I drop around to the Urban League on my lunch hour? Have you any idea?
Put these books away, please, Miss Thompson. I'm sorry I kept you waiting. Won't you come inside? It'll only take a few minutes.
Oh, well, good luck.
Thanks.
Has Miss Thompson been filling your head full of tall tales? Won't you have a seat, please? Cigarette? Let's see. You've been working in Lane's since you got out of high school, right? And now you've graduated from secretarial school. Must be pretty rough working during the day and going to school at night, isn't it?
I think it was a little harder on my family than on me. They had to listen to my complaining.
Well, it looks like it might have been worthwhile. How would you like to go to work as a secretary at Dennis Industries?
You want the truth, don't you, Mr. Graham?
Oh, certainly.
I'd give an eye tooth to work as a secretary, but at Dennis Industries, I'm not so sure.
Oh, you're afraid maybe you're not quite good enough yet, huh?
No, that isn't the reason. I'm more afraid they wouldn't want me at Dennis.
Well, someone does. They called me. I didn't call them.
Mr. Graham, we're not talking about anything that's secret. They've never hired a Negro girl. Everyone knows that. It's not that they discriminate. It's just that they don't hire us.
Maybe things are changing, Mary.
Don't misunderstand. Oh, I'd love to work at Dennis. And I do want a job as a secretary. And I could handle it.
I know you could. I've checked your records. You have every qualification you need. Now, let me bring you up to date. Last week, the personnel department of Dennis got in touch with every employment agency in town. It told them that beginning immediately, Negroes were to be hired on the Dennis office force.
Really?
Yes, really. They also called up the Urban League and asked us to help them over the hurdle.
Sounds as though they're serious.
They are serious. They've already started to map a long-term educational plan so that the schools around here will know exactly what kind of help they need. Well, they've approached every organization in town and asked for their assistance. This could be a tremendous step forward.
What about me? Suppose I do go up for the job. The personnel department can't make the people like me. They can't tell the other girls that... Well, that...
That you're as good as they are? No, they can't. But they can give you every chance to show you are. Mary, right now they need us. And we certainly need them. If we don't take the chance when it comes along, it may not come along again. We have everything to gain. You have everything to gain.
And nothing to lose except a job. And about 10 feet of pride.
It's a funny thing, Mary. Once someone offers you a choice, you can't ever go back to the way it was before. If you don't try, when you go out of here, you'll find your pride has shrunk to 10 inches. If you do try, well, if you do try, you may have something to be really proud of. What do you say? girl.
Well, how's the crusade for freedom at Dennis Industries coming?
There's a girl coming over from the Urban League tomorrow morning. When she's through with personnel, I'd like you to have a talk with her.
Sure, I'll be glad to have a talk with her.
You know, talk isn't enough in a situation like this, Will.
You mean you people upstairs are really serious about this?
Let me point out one thing to you, Will. Dennis Industries does a lot of business with the government.
Fine, and we turn out a good product.
And the law says fair employment practice.
It never fails. Up on Cloud 19, the VIPs decide to work a miracle, and then the little wheels downstairs have to start grinding.
Are you against hiring Negroes?
That's not what I said, Lyle.
No? What did you say?
That I'm only an office manager. I can't make a hero out of Todd Dennis.
Nobody asked you to do that. All you have to do is to follow company policy.
And lose half the girls in the office while I'm doing it.
Have you lost any yet?
Not yet, but there's muttering. I heard one of the girls say she'll quit as soon as we hire a Negro. For your information, she happens to be the most popular girl in the office. If she quits, it could start an exodus that would make the one out of Egypt look like a quiet Sunday afternoon.
If she decides to quit, I'd like to know immediately. Anyone else, for that matter?
Lyle, I tell you, it won't work. The girls won't stand for it.
Okay, well, you tell me why.
Oh, come on, come on. Don't be naive. You know the reasons as well as I do.
Well, what?
The washrooms, for instance. You know what I mean.
What do these same girls do when they go to the restaurants and the movies? Just supper?
So they have no choice.
Well, they won't have a choice here from now on. Now, look, Will, we've notified the unions and asked for their cooperation. No trouble there. Every department head has made it official all the way down the line. There's a memo out in black and white so that everybody can see it. And we agreed that the best way is to make a definite stand from the top down. Well, you'd think we're living in the dark ages. When are people going to realize that this is the 20th century in the United States of America?
With freedom and liberty for all.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't say anything about working where you don't want to.
Are you telling me you want to quit?
Well, I probably won't have to. My job will just disappear into thin air along with the rest of the staff.
You know, I don't understand you, Will. I've talked to every man in a responsible position here at Dennis. Most of them wonder what all the fuss is about. Few admit they don't like the idea of a Negro secretary, but they're willing to go along with the idea.
Well, go ahead. Try them.
But you keep on saying it won't work. I wonder if you know how you really feel.
Well, I'll tell you. You know those signs you put up in the plant, equal economic opportunity? Well, you can wallpaper the whole building with them, but you can't change the facts of life. I've got to get home. What time is it?
I don't know. Well, if this girl tomorrow morning passes all those tests, it's your job to place her in one of those openings you've been complaining about for so long. See you later.
We're very lucky to find someone with your qualifications, Miss Newton.
Thank you.
You passed those tests with flying colors.
Well, as a matter of fact, I thought I'd be too nervous to hold a pencil.
All that's left is the physical, just routine. I'll have my secretary fix an appointment with the medical office. Kit, would you just alert the medical office that Miss Newton will be down in about half an hour? And now, you'd better meet the man you'll probably be working for.
Mr. Nelson, may I ask you a question? Would it be possible for me to have an assignment in the accounting department?
Why?
Well, to tell the truth, there's a girl in there from my class at high school. We're not friends exactly, but I thought it might make things...
Miss Newton, as a new employee at Dennis, I think you ought to know our rules. We don't give favors. We don't give preferential treatment.
I'm sorry. I just thought it would make...
We stick to our word. Every employee is treated solely on his merits, for better or for worse.
Oh, I see.
Now, I'll take you down and introduce you to Mr. Harden.
As soon as I can. You have to wait. That's all I can say. All right, goodbye.
You the gentleman who's been complaining about the lack of office help?
You don't get someone to sit at that desk pretty soon. You'll have to dig me out from all this paperwork.
I have somebody for you right now.
You better have four hands.
She's 22, graduate from secretarial school, honor student, conscientious, loyal, eager to work.
Go on. I don't believe it.
She's outside. Would you like to meet her?
Sure. Bring her in.
And tell her to have her pencil sharpened so that we can get started.
Miss Mary Newton, Mr. Kurt Hardin. I think you'll find your work cut out for you.
How do you do? How do you do?
You should have seen his face. He just looked at me like he couldn't believe it. Like he couldn't believe it.
What did he say?
He said, how do you do? He said it twice. And then he turned around and went back to his desk and said he'd see me tomorrow.
Well, what did the other guy do then?
Mr. Nelson?
Yeah.
He smiled like there was some sort of a joke. And then he took me down to the medical office.
Did anybody say anything about you being the first colored girl in the office?
They didn't have to. You could see it in their faces. The way the girl in Mr. Nelson's office looked at me.
Maybe you just imagined all of it.
Well, that's a crazy thing to say, Mama. Why should she imagine it? It's the truth. You just don't understand.
Yes, I understand. You may not think I understand, but I do. You think I can't understand because I'm your mother and I'm older, but I do. What you're going through isn't new. When I was a young girl, I had to leave high school to get a job. I would have given anything to work in a shop, but it just wasn't done where I lived. Nobody ever heard of a nigger working in a shop where white girls and white women came in to buy things. So I got a job cleaning house. And I cleaned house and cried at nights until I got married. Maybe my mother had something she wanted very bad and couldn't have and cried about all night. I don't know. But now I have you children. And I've watched you grow up and finish school. And now Mary's working in a shop and crying her eyes out because she can't work in an office. Well, maybe she can work in an office. And if she can, I don't want to see her throwing away the chance because she's afraid. Maybe those people hate her. Maybe some of them do. And maybe she's imagining a lot of it, dreaming up trouble to hide her fears. And if this is the way it is, then she's got to find out. And the only way to find out is to go to work tomorrow. Well, when she has her own kids, she's going to have to watch them get hurt and cry and be afraid. And she'll always wonder if she couldn't have suffered it for them and maybe made their lives a little easier. The way I sometimes wonder now.
Resigning.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Okay. I appreciate your getting here on time to tell me.
You know exactly why I'm quitting.
I think you may receive a personal invitation from Mr. Todd Dennis of Dennis Industries to present your case to him personally.
That it should come to this. Tell him I'd like to see her right away. Let's squash this. And get Lyle Ross on the phone. Oh, Beth.
May I ask you a personal question?
Of course.
Where do you stand on all this? You've heard the policy discussion. How do you feel?
Well, honestly, Mr. Dennis, I wonder where everybody's been. I mean, doesn't anybody in this company read the newspapers or go to the movies? I think it's about time we woke up.
You can be a great help to us right now.
How?
By giving the new girl a chance. By making sure that she gets a chance.
You mean by being especially nice to her?
No, not especially nice. Just plain, ordinarily nice. Common, garden variety nice. You have a certain amount of prestige here. Use it.
Well, I wouldn't want the other girls to think I was doing it just because I was the
boss. Now, look. Don't you start being frightened, too. Think about it. It's not an order. Just a random comment on humanity. I'm sorry you want to leave, Miss Wright. Up to now, you've been an asset to the company.
I'm sorry, too, Mr. Dennis. Up to now, I've enjoyed working here.
I suppose you'll be looking for another job. In a plant that doesn't hire Negroes, of course.
In a plant that doesn't hire them to work in the office with me.
Well, that's going to be more and more difficult.
I think you understand my position.
I know your position. I don't understand it.
It's not difficult to explain.
I know. I've heard it all before. Surely you don't expect us to adjust our policies to meet your approval.
Frankly, I'd rather not work than to work under your new policy.
Rather not work? Well, you're lucky.
How do you mean?
Lucky you can afford that alternative. I can't afford it. Neither can most of the people working here.
Look, Mr. Dennis, I just don't understand why my leaving has suddenly taken on such importance. I wish I felt flattered by all the attention. But I'm afraid I don't.
Well, the fact is, your leaving the company is much more important than a personal matter. For me or for you. I'm not going to even attempt to argue with your prejudices. I know that in a few minutes here, I can't change whatever has made you think the way you've been thinking for a lifetime. But if you don't mind, I'd like to put the shoe on the other foot. You're a popular girl here. Probably with good reason. What you do, quitting that is, may set an example for a lot of other girls who can't afford your independence. I'm responsible for this company. That means I'm responsible to the stockholders, to the people working here, to myself, even to the whole country, indirectly. It's too late to crawl back into a shell.
I'm afraid I don't understand, Mr. Dennis.
Miss Wright. I'm going to ask you to stay on here at Dennis, in spite of how you feel. To give yourself even a chance to find out if we're right.
You're putting me in a pretty tough spot, Mr. Dennis.
Well, it may not be as tough as you think.
You're making it awfully difficult to refuse. It would have been so much easier if you just bawled me out.
This is something that has to be handled reasonably. Will you give it a try?
I think it's only fair to warn you. I may do all the wrong things. You may be sorry if I stay.
Well, every day I'm in business, I'm taking chances. I'm willing to take this one.
I'll think about it, Mr. Dennis. I will say this, though. It's the first time I've stopped to think about it at all.
Thank you.
I'm Miss Merrill.
Mary Newton.
Hello, Mary. The secretary's usually over here. Won't you join us? I'll give you a hand. Everybody, this is Mary Newton.
Joan.
Merrill. This is Kit Wright.
There was no mass walkout. No one quit. A few girls even tried to help out. Resentment turned to curiosity. Then curiosity became interest. In time, Mary was no longer the new girl. And new girls no longer meant trouble. So we all settled down again to the difficult business of making a living.